We're in a summer message series called Storyteller, and taking a look at the parables of Jesus. He told over 40. We're not going through all 40, but we're taking a few this summer. And the title of this morning's message is Moving the Heart and the Hands of God. We'll take a look at what Jesus has to say about prayer, and he'll tell us some stories. And his main point is that prayer actually does move the heart and the hands of God. That according to Jesus, your life can be going a particular way. You can pray and something will change. That there may be a particular trajectory. You pray and something different will happen. That prayer is not just a charade. It's not something we do to prove I kind of believe. It's not something I do to prove what a nice person I am. Prayer is where we can be real honest with God and he responds. So we'll get there in just a moment. And you can actually, I think, learn a lot about prayer from a soft drink machine, from a Coke machine. Because what do? You walk up to a Coke machine, you put in your change, you hit a button, and you get exactly what you've ordered. And it works beautifully until it doesn't. Not too long ago, well, you know, we've got a couple of soft drink machines here in the building. I go over, I put in my $1.25 and change, and I hit the button for a Diet Dr. Pepper, and I got a Diet Dr. Pepper, and it was wonderful. Wonderful. Put in my change, hit the button, got exactly what I requested. It was fantastic. And then, not too long ago, I walk over there, I put in my $1.25 and change, I hit the button for a Diet Dr. Pepper. And I got absolutely nothing. This church ripped me off of $1.25. And then, not long ago, I went to that same soft drink machine, put in my $1.25 and change, hit the button for a Diet Dr. Pepper, and I got a Lipton tea. Who wants a Lipton tea when you can have a Dr. Pepper? This is not what I asked for. This is not what I requested. How many times in prayer have we gone, Lord, you taught me how to pray. I believe in you. I'm a person, I've at least got a mustard seed of faith. Here's my request, and here's what I'm asking for. And you get a Lipton tea. Or you just didn't, it's like, I'm still waiting for, I've hit the button, and I'm not getting anything. You know, the Barna organization, they study religion in America, and they did a deal not too terribly long ago, asking Americans, you know, how many of you pray once a week? This might surprise you. 84% of Americans pray once a week. 84%. And when you think about it, regardless of your religion or your philosophy, you know, it said, what, there are no atheists in foxholes, right? Even people who may not really believe, if they find themselves in a desperate, desperate situation, oh, God, if you are there, help. What, the three basic prayers? Wow, thanks, help. Help. You can pray and move God's heart and hands. Your life's going one way. You can pray and God will respond, and it may go a different way. There is one trajectory you can pray, and something will be different. You are invited, listen, to take up your place as a royal daughter of God, as a royal son of God, and partner with the King of the universe to actually influence reality. You are invited to partner with God and actually change the boundaries of reality and possibility. All right. Let's read from Luke chapter 11. This is a scene where Jesus and his disciples get involved in a conversation, and Jesus will eventually get around to telling a story. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples to pray. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, let's stop there for a moment. This will be the Lord's Prayer. Everybody here is familiar with the Lord's Prayer. It's mentioned twice in the New Testament, once in the Sermon on the Mount, and then here in Luke 11. And so the disciples, they see the prayer life of Jesus. Sometimes he would pray all night, sometimes in very succinct form. Here, when he teaches them to pray, he gives us a very, very succinct formula. He says, when you pray, Father. Now, everything he's about to teach a little later flows out of this concept. Whatever image you might have of God, he says, it's important that you have this relational image, that our God is not the unmoved mover. He is not distant. He's not wispy. He's not an image. He's not a thing. He knows you. He likes you. He is inclined to you. You need to think of him as a good, good father who relates to you, who loves you, and who has very, very good intentions. I am a father. I'm not a perfect father by any means, but I love my children, and I have always had good intentions for my children. Our God is a perfect father. He has good intentions. And he says, so when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, that's a word we don't use much. Hallowed, hallowed. But it's a good word. Interesting that many newer translations of the Bible don't change this word. They leave it. It means this is really important. This is sacred. This is vitally important. You know, musicians get together. You know, if we had a symphony up here, one of the first things they would do, they would tune their instruments, get in tune. He says, here's what I want you to do to your heart. I want you to get in tune with me. Father, hallowed is your name. So myself, I'm going to bless you and put you in your rightful place. Your kingdom come. Now listen carefully. According to Jesus, the primary way we usher in the kingdom of God is to pray. And you know what the kingdom of God is. It's the rule and the reign of God on the earth. And the primary way we do that is to pray and to say, God, I'm inviting your will to be done. You say, well, most religious people believe that. I'm not so sure. I think that we think the primary way that gets done is through self-effort. That if I get angry enough, if I've got enough angst, if I can somehow, you know, move and shake and get it done. Jesus says, I think the primary way, why don't you take a lot of that energy and actually ask and invite the will of God to be done. Your kingdom come. According to Jesus, heaven is the place where God's will is always done. On earth is the place where God's will is sometimes done. But we can pray and invite more and more of his will to be done in my life, our community, our world. To pray, listen, it is to rise up against the brokenness of this world. To pray is to rise up against the distorted things of this world and say, God, make it different. And now, Jesus continues and he says, and also say, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, even that person. And lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from evil and from the evil one. And now Jesus will tell them a little story. All right, everybody ready for the story? Here we go. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. Hey, just go out there on a limb and just imagine you've got a friend, that there's somebody out there who semi-likes you, and you've got a friend. So Jesus says, suppose you have a friend, and you go to this friend at midnight and say, friend, would you lend me 3 loaves of bread? Because another friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. So, you know, there's no Hampton, there's no Holiday Inn, it's ancient Near East. Somebody has shown up in the middle of the night. I've got to show a little hospitality. And suppose the one on the inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are already in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus says, but I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your, hear the words, because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, this is a little rabbinical story, teaching where it's, you know, compare and contrast. Jesus says, you've got this neighbor, and in the middle of the night, you have enough audacity to go in at midnight and just keep knocking at the door. You're being obnoxious. You have shameless audacity. I'm not here. I'm already in bed. The kids are asleep. And you're saying, Ronnie, I wish you would stop beating. It's getting old. Shameless audacity. Listen, imagine you've got a friend who's grumpy and self-centered. I want you to think of your most grumpy, your most self-centered friend, and do not look at anyone right now. But you've got a grumpy, grumpy, self-centered friend. And if your grumpy, self-centered friend would get up at midnight just because of the shameless audacity you're asking, you keep on. If your grumpy, self-centered friend will get up and give you what you ask for, you ready? You ready? How much more will your heavenly Father, who loves you and who has good intentions for you, how much more will he respond? So I say to you, says Jesus, verse 9, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, the one who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus, this is a very, very simple story. You get the message. What's the story? What's his point? Ask, and ask with shameless audacity. And keep on asking. I'm not home. The kids are in bed. But you keep asking with shameless audacity. And all of this now is rooted into Jesus' view of God as a good, good Father with good intentions. Which of you fathers, he says, verse 11, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? You know, my kids, I don't ever really remember them asking for an egg. You know, I mean, would you like scrambled eggs or how would you like? But what's your favorite way to have an egg? For me, Eggs Benedict. Eggs Benedict's fantastic. And it's brunch time. Yeah. Dad, I'd really like Eggs Benedict. You want Benedict? Here's Scorpion Benedict instead. And sometimes you'll even hear people say, oh, you better watch out what you pray for. You just might get it. He's a good, good Father. And if you then, being evil, thank you, Jesus. But if you compared to your father, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Even somebody as broken as me, I know how to give good gifts to my children and grandchildren. How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give even the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of all, to those who ask him? Jesus is harping on this. He's driving the point home repeatedly over and over and over and over again, saying, ask, ask, ask with shameless audacity and keep on asking. Why would Jesus just drive this home over and over and over? I think because we don't ask. Sometimes we don't ask with shameless audacity. Sometimes we don't keep on asking because it's tough to do that. But God's delays are not always his denials. Let me ask you a question. Why might we not ask? Is it possible that we don't ask for reasons that almost defy explanation? And you say, oh, no, Ronnie, people ask. How many of you have needs and desires and requests right now that you would like God to be involved with and you've not asked? And you've just not asked. What does the book of James say? You have not because you ask not. Is it because maybe there's a sense of self-sufficiency in us? I mean, let's face it. We live in a really nice culture. And you are very well-educated people. And you're sharp and you've got connections. And I know you're not so blind as to think you are God and you're in control of the universe. I get that. But is it possible that you are pretty self-sufficient and you tend to think, well, I don't really need to ask or pray about this. After all, I got a really good job. I've got good insurance. I've got connections. All I need to do is make a phone call or two, send a text or two. I know how to, you know, move things around, shake things around. Is it possible that there's a sense of fatalism in you where people mean well? And there's a kernel of truth to this, where we talk about God's sovereignty, God's involved. I'm not a deist. I don't believe, you know, God just set the world in motion and now he doesn't care. But there's this other extreme of God's in control of every minute detail. And so there's no real need to pray because God's in, quote, control anyway. And so, listen, I don't believe prayer is a charade. I don't believe prayer is just a religious exercise. I actually believe with Jesus that your prayers, as royal sons and daughters of God, you partner with God to redefine the boundaries of reality and possibility. History belongs to the intercessors. And I believe that when you pray, something happens, and when you don't pray, we miss an opportunity. So, how do we square the invitation to pray with the reality of unanswered prayer? Now, before I touch on this in closing, I think that there's a bigger problem than unanswered prayer. I believe it's unasked prayer. Unasked prayer should be issue number one we face. But what about those prayers where I've put in my buck 25, I keep hitting, give me the Dr. Pepper, and I'm getting nothing or I'm getting Lipton tea? What about unanswered prayer? You know, I don't have a full explanation on this. There's a wonderful book out called God on Mute by Pete Craig. And it's excellent. He'll even give 15 different scenarios whereby you may not get the answer you want. I'm not going through all 15. But let me give you some possibilities. You know, sometimes there are contradictory prayers. You've got a wonderful bride praying right over here for a wonderful sunny day for her wedding, and a couple of miles away, you got a farmer who's praying hard for rain for the crops. Sometimes God might say no or not yet because he has something else in mind. It might be something better. It may be just something else. But God, in His mercy, filters. He invites me to ask boldly with shameless audacity. But He's not going to be the kind of Father who just always gives me what I want based on my own imaginations. He responds and filters. And sometimes God Himself is a better answer. Whereas He might say, no, I'm not going to give you the trinket in my hand, but I'll give you my hand. What was it He told the Apostle Paul? No, I'm not going to change this request, but my presence in your life is going to be sufficient here. There's another reason. And this reason is that life is just hard and tough. And because we live in such a wonderful culture and time period in history, some of you have not yet been exposed to some of the real hardships and adversities of life. But what was it the Apostle Peter said? When life hits you between the eyes, don't think it's surprising. Don't think, uh-oh, what's happening here? Jesus said, in this world, you will have much trouble. We are invited to pray. And I believe that in this broken world, God responds and He gives us so many good answers. Like, for example, King Hezekiah. You remember that story? King Hezekiah. He was told that his life was over. What did he do? He prayed. And God gave him 15 more years. Isn't that wonderful? But listen, He didn't give him 16 more years. He didn't give him 17 more years. He didn't give him 20 more years. He gave him 15 more years. But there was an expiration date to that good, good answer. And then sometimes, listen, I don't believe that God's will is the only will that gets done on the earth. We're invited to pray, God, your will be done. There are 7 billion people on this planet. And God gives you a measure of free will. And there are spiritual forces of evil in this world. And this broken world itself has a will. Read Romans 8. It's waiting for the day of renewal. But right now, God's will is invited to be done, but until we get to heaven, there are competing wills. And the free will of men and women is often at the heart of much good in this world, but also much brokenness and evil as well. But listen, you are invited to pray. It's life with the Father. It's just you talking to God about what you are doing together. And sometimes your world is broken and you don't like the way things are, and you're invited to just be honest about that with God. Out of the 150 Psalms, 67 of them are lament, where we cry out to God saying, I just don't like the way it is right now. How long before it gets better? But you have a good, good Father with good intentions. And His inclination to you is one of warmth and compassion. And you are invited to ask with shameless audacity, and keep on asking, knowing that your prayers move the heart and the hands of God and actually change the boundaries of reality.